Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I'd like to discuss the big item in the news, the Trump administration's move to shut down the Department of Education. President Trump tapped Linda McMahon, founder of the World Wrestling Entertainment Company, Titan Sports, to be the next U.S. Secretary of Education, and Trump appointed her to close down the department. Quote from an op-ed by McMahon, "I took office as Secretary of Education with a mission unlike any of my predecessors, to oversee the responsibility and the permanent closure of the very department I now lead. This is not a routine mission. It's a transformation driven by the clear will of the American people to return education to the states and the decisive election of President Donald Trump." So the Department of Education employs 4,200 workers. The average salary is $145,000 per year. So do the math, that's about $1 billion in salary. And I always like to see it as it takes the tax dollars of about 1 million Americans to support this staff. In March, McMahon laid off 1,300 employees from the Department of Education. 570 have taken buyouts. That brings the department down to about 2,200 workers. The Department of Education has also canceled about $350 million in grants, which were promoting woke ideology. $350 million was spent on regional education laboratories to advise schools to undertake equity audits and equity conversations, basically DEI ideological training and requirements. The Department of Education accounts for 4% of all federal spending, which is a huge amount for one department. Now, opponents will claim that it's only 4%, but that thinking is part of the problem. Every department claims that it's only spending a small percentage, but taken together, the federal government's going bankrupt. Now, the Department of Education sounds like a department that has been around since the inception of the United States, but it's very recent. It was started by President Carter in 1979. There was a Department of Education back in 1867, started by Andrew Johnson. It included three clerks who were responsible for compiling statistics about education, but within a year it was eliminated. The states saw the department as both unnecessary and a power grab by the federal government. It was believed that education should be the responsibility of the states. The federal government should not be dictating educational policy and spending from Washington. But in 1979, education bureaucrats in the Democrat administration were able to create a Department of Education, and the department has grown every year since, a 750% increase since the year 2000. However, as federal spending on education has increased, student test scores across the nation have decreased. So higher spending on education doesn't equate to better student outcomes. And it doesn't take a PhD in education to figure this out. Education itself is very inexpensive. All of the books for K through 12 have already been written. Pencils and paper are cheap. Desks are cheap. Rooms are cheap. And for motivated students, there is not a need for an army of teachers. Most of the effort in education is personal. Education problems are not a money problem. They're not a method problem. They're not a facility problem. They're not an organizational problem, but a spiritual moral problem. The motivation to learn comes from a godly worldview and a godly environment. In fact, money and facilities and big organizations and certain methods actually work against good K through 12 education. They become distractions. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It all begins with a relationship with God. It's spiritual. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And Proverbs 14, 6. Knowledge is easy to the one who has understanding. And I know in my own personal life and in my conversion to Christ, that really propelled my education. I was now motivated to read hundreds of books without it costing the taxpayers a dime. Remember Abraham Lincoln? He had only 1 year of formal education, but self-taught himself with books. I have four boys who we homeschooled, and it cost us about $2,000 per year to educate all four of them. We were quite poor. Most of their classes, they watched on video. And what took 7 hours a day for the public schools to teach, they were done in about 3 hours. And all four of them graduated from college with honors, and they're now in professional careers. And it's not as if we were some sort of high IQ family. We played a lot. Motocross, bikes and blades, camping. Growing up was fun for them. They weren't stuck in a concrete institutional building all day. Well, here's a way to explain it. If people are godly, education will happen indigenously. Students will receive an excellent education, even with the most meager of resources, because that's the natural result of the fruit of the Spirit. In the 1700s, America had the most literate population in the world. And it was all done voluntarily, without any government money, without any government programs. However, if people are ungodly, all the money in the world and all the programs will eventually not educate, because laziness and indifference toward education is a fruit of the flesh. So education is not a function of the government spending money. It's a function of biblical truth, evangelism, prayer, and those are things that are mostly out of the scope of government. One of the main errors in all this is that people are looking to the wrong solution for the problem. Now, I do have to insert here an explanation. Because China is a secular, ungodly state, but the students score well in education. And the answer isn't complicated. Just one generation ago, the Chinese people were in poverty, whereas Americans have been prosperous for centuries. Today, students in China, they're not pampered. If they don't get good grades, they're not allowed to go to college, and they will be working in a shoe factory. So students are driven out of fear and out of need. But that motivation will only last for a little while. It will eventually collapse. But for now, those students are driven by need. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 26. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. So when I hear about eliminating the Department of Education, laying off all of these education bureaucrats, I hear about the spending cuts, I rejoice. Because overall, it will be an improvement for education in America. Because not only doesn't the Department of Education educate, it hinders education by pushing on schools leftist ideology and top-down controls, drowning schools with requirements and reports. So on March 20th, President Trump signed an executive order to instruct the Department of Education to work toward the dismantling of the department. Now, Trump can't close it, but he can reduce it to one small office. as a department administration, the president actually has complete control over the department. In 1979, President Carter made it into a cabinet-level department. So one would imagine that the president could simply pass an executive order to eliminate the department. But at the same time, Congress also passed a bill making it a federal department. So I wish I had time to play the entire press conference, but you can listen to that on your own. The main argument for dismantling the Department of Education is that's a waste of taxpayer money. The states can do a much better job without the bureaucratic overlords. And having a department doesn't help in education. And now there are educational statistics against the department to prove the point. So dissolving the department makes great sense. Get rid of the waste, give education fully to the states. And states that do poorly will have to improve. They will have to compete. They cannot hide under a big tent. Eliminating the department is just common sense. Even Randy Weingarten, head of the teachers union, said that we can do without the Department of Education, although she has since changed her mind. Now, if you go online, there are hundreds of articles on the left defending the Department of Education. And the main reason given to keep the department is that the department is necessary for promoting educational equity for all students. It's somewhat of a socialist mindset. You know, as in economics, in order for there to be fairness, there needs to be big government to collect and redistribute wealth. Well, the same mindset carries over to education. There needs to be a big government entity to collect and redistribute education, to police education, to control education. And in discussing the Department of Education with friends and family and coworkers, you will find that it all comes down to people's larger worldview, their theological, social ideology, their understanding of man, sin, redemption, and the institution of government. And this is the reason people will talk past each other when it comes to discussing the efficacy of federal departments. I mean, if you have a leftist worldview, the Department of Education is great and has to be made great. But if you lean to the right, the Department of Education is likely part of the problem. Here's a quick clip from Carter and Reagan.
My guess is that the best move for the quality of life in America in the future might very well be this establishment of this new Department of Education.
The budget plan I submit to you on February 8th will realize major savings by dismantling the Departments of Energy and Education.
So Carter says, my guess is that the best move for better quality of life in America is the establishment of the new Department of Education, while Reagan claims it hurts America and must be eliminated. And my question is why? Why does Carter guess as an a priori assumption that a government agency over education will be the best move to increase the quality of life in America? Well, even in 1979, others were saying it's a bad idea. Well, because Jimmy Carter was a Democrat statist, where government is the solution, and government must grow larger. And this goes really, really, really deep. So much so that you're not going to change anyone's mind unless you're able to reprogram their entire worldview from the ground up. People think these political decisions are based upon outcomes, costs, statistics, but no, it's really worldview. And by the way, there is a right and a wrong worldview. And the right worldview is developed by having a serious fidelity to the scripture. To sum it up in a sentence, a Christian worldview draws people away from a trust in man and government. It better understands the sinful nature of man, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But for the unsaved, Revelation chapter 13, they worship the beast. And this is why so often it takes years of discipleship for Christians to begin to change their political views, especially if they have entered the faith with a previously developed political bias. Here's an article from Reuters. Elon Musk's cuts based more on political ideology than real cost savings. Well, actually, the cuts are really saving costs. But the article is right that support for Doge is not about the money, it's not about the cost savings, it's about one's political ideology. If one believes in big government, then whatever big government does must lean somehow toward the positive. So government cuts must be a bad thing, somehow. In a recent Fox News interview with Elon Musk and the Doge team, Elon made this point, quote, "Whenever they attack us, they never attack any of the specifics. They will say what we're doing is somehow unconstitutional or illegal or whatever. So we ask, what line of cost savings do you disagree with? And they can't point to any." Unquote. And in this we say it's really not about financial justice. It's about maintaining their ideological belief in government. The protests and the burning of Teslas is really not about Doge. It's a response to an attack on their beliefs about the state. So let me conclude with six reasons why there is so much opposition to Doge and the elimination of the Department of Education. There are really more than six reasons, but I've just jotted down here six. First, the reason I just gave: statism, socialism, a worldview that believes in government. Not in God we trust, but in government we trust. As we wouldn't want to shrink God, they don't want to shrink government. And for those who put the emphasis on a belief in government, if you're for education, the federal government has to be involved, no questions asked. The second reason for opposition would be Trump derangement syndrome, because Bill Clinton and Obama said the exact same thing about cutting government spending as now Trump and Musk. But it was considered great when the Democrats talked about it. One of the benefits of technology is that we have their words on record. Bill Clinton commissioned Al Gore to find ways to cut government spending and jobs, and Al Gore cut 400,000 federal jobs. President Obama also laid out the same government cuts as Trump, but since he was a Democrat, it was just fine. But as one satirist in the 19th century once said, there is nothing more base than asking the party of the man behind a policy before deciding whether the policy is good or bad. Now, the reason for Trump derangement syndrome is that there's opposition to Trump's stance on moral issues such as abortion and transgenderism. And what happens is that these people would rather bankrupt the country than give up their immoral positions. And this becomes a self-inflicted judgment. Reason number three for opposing the elimination of the Department of Education would be personal financial interest. Money talks, follow the money. Most people judge the right and wrong of a policy based on what puts money in their own pocket. They suppose that godliness or values that are right are the values that are a means of gain. In that Fox interview with Doge, Elon Musk said something that's all too true. When they cut government programs, the people who complain the most are the fraudsters. And you can identify who is cheating the system, who is lining their pocket, by seeing who complains the most. Reason number four for opposing the elimination of the Department of Education is similar to reason number three, personal financial interest. But additionally, it's a charity mindset in regard to government. Believe it or not, there are many people who see government jobs as government charity. Almost like a two-tiered charity system, there is welfare and food stamps for those who are unemployed and unemployable. And there ought to also be available government jobs for people. Jobs that pay generous, jobs that pay living wages, especially for those who struggle to find work in the private sector. For these people, government is supposed to create jobs so that there is full employment. Plus, the government is to set an example by creating jobs that are stress-free and with less work, not like the fierce competition and the tireless work that it takes to survive in the private sector. There's a whole class of people who despise work in the private sector, where you can be fired at any time for any reason, where one actually has to produce enough labor to cover their own salary and the cost of overhead. You can only get paid by producing, not by forcing taxpayers to pay your salary. And this is the mindset of Bernie Sanders and AOC. Right now, they're going around the country holding rallies against the Trump administration, promoting this charity of government mindset. And this mindset needs to be labeled and identified. There's probably at least 20% of people in America who think this way. And these people are communists at heart. They hate God's command to work by the sweat of the brow, and they hate God's accountability. And when one has such a perspective, and you see people having that perspective, it's shocking. Because it's hard to imagine people actually think this way, but they're all confused in regard to their understanding of the role of government, in regard to charity and work. And reason number five for opposing a reduction in the size of government is similar to reason four. These people have a false belief that the government is supposed to give mercy and grace. It's the attitude that government needs to be nice. Criminals should receive grace and forgiveness and not be punished for their crimes, at least not punished much. And illegals should receive grace and be allowed to stay. After all, Christians are supposed to be dispensers of grace. So also the government. But in order to get a correct balance in this, it takes a very deep understanding of the difference between the role of government, as laid out in Scripture, versus the role of the individual and the church. The New Testament emphasis is that the role of government is not to dispense grace, but to be an avenger for God, taking wrath on the ones who practice evil. And that's what the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace, wrote. But again, notice that the only way to have a proper view on this is to be steeped in Scripture. Now that I think about it, a whole program could be dedicated to this one issue. Grace or law in regard to government policy. I'm out of time. I have a few more points to cover. And that will have to be on my extended video version of this program at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs and to get all of the links is at godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word. And may Jesus Christ reign.